ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, and we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events, and there's lots of it out there today for Tuesday, August 27th, 2019. Good afternoon, Butch.
Hello, Melody. How's Miss Melody today?
Oh, man, it's been a great day here at Discount Gold and Silver. You know, it's nice to see your investments, begin to tick up,
knowing that this is
only the beginning. And even though we know whether they tick up or not, it's still better than holding paper. Unfortunately, on the opposite side of that coin, things aren't so good. And that's... It's the price that people have to pay. But we had a great day for gold today. I don't know why people are waiting. I keep hearing it. Well, I think I'm going to wait. What are you waiting for?
I'm so glad I didn't.
I mean, you've had 5 years. Now that gold's up, you're going to wait?
Melody, I want to say this. 20-some years ago, I bought silver dollars, still have some of them, for $3 a piece, and the day they were $21.
Yep.
Wow. Yep.
Gold today up $16.30 off its high of $15.45, but we'll take $15. See, it's going up so fast, I can't even keep up with it. Gold, $15.43.90, up $16.30, off the high of $15.45. Silver is up $18.26, up 52 cents. Platinum was up $9 at $868, and palladium was up $2 at $1,486. And yes, I will repeat those numbers later on in the reprogram. I'm just so excited, and it's just the USDX today was down 0.01 at 98.02. Crude oil was up $1.33 at $54.97. And the paper markets today, and it truly is all about the bond market. And I mean, we've been talking about the bond market bubble for how many years? The Dow was down 123 points at 25,775. The NASDAQ was down 26 points, 78.26 at 7,826. The S&P was down 9 points at 2,869. I mean, they were all down. The Dow was almost down 0.5%. And, so there wasn't a whole lot of movement there. But the movement came in the later market trade after it was up all day. The markets were positive, mainly the day. And the big news is the 10-year yield, 1.49%. Heck, when it broke 2, I said, yep, it's going to 1.50 where it broke, and there's no reason why it's not going to go down to where it was during the Great Recession. I think it was 1.27. So this is where we're headed, ladies and gentlemen. And yes, this isn't just an anomaly. We can look at the historical times that has happened, the past, the trend, and what it means. And you can bet your bottom dollar, we're not already in a recession. It's coming, baby. And it's going to be the mother of all. And gold futures is 1551, 1551. And let's see if we're still in. Those are December contracts, 2019 December contracts, 1551. Let's see if there is anything else exciting to talk about before we talk about the markets. Japan was down a little over 2%. The emotion that's driving the market is 16, so that dropped a little bit today. But, of course, the bond market being the recession indicator, of course, there's always the trade worries that worsen the markets. And the long-term treasury rates added to this month-long slide, aggravating a key yield curve inversion, sending the 10-year yield to its lowest level against the 2-year rate since 2007. Now, you're going to hear those that say, well, that doesn't mean anything. You're going to hear others that say, yeah, it does. The yield in the 10 on the benchmark 2-year Treasury note, which is a little more sensitive to changes in the Federal Reserve policy, fell to 1.528, 4.2 basis points above the 10-year note rate. And of course, this was after closing yesterday inverted. Before August, the last inversion of this part of the yield curve was the one that began in December 2005, which was 2 years before the financial crisis and the recession. I don't think we're going to have to wait 2 years, ladies and gentlemen. And the spread between the three-month Treasury yield and that of the 10-year note, the Fed's preferred inversion metric, slumped to minus 51 basis points, to its lowest since March 2007. Let's see if there's any other. And this is what they're all basing it on. The two-year rate has exceeded that of the 10-year yield of every recession over the past 50 years. So we talk about this all the time with Dave Allen and myself. We talk about the inversion. He follows it very closely. And here it is. And yes, they are going to pay attention. The markets will pay attention to this. Consumer prices are measured by the personal consumption expenditures, the PCE price index. That edged up 0.1% in June as food and energy prices fell. This is the Fed's favorite inflation gauge. And in the 12 months through June, the PCE price index rose 1.4%, and that's after a similar increase in May. So, yeah, their little indicators of inflation is beginning to tick up. Other news, foreign money is driving the shape of the U.S. yield curve. We'll talk about that in a little bit. The Treasury Department auctioned $40 billion in two-year notes at a high yield of 1.51%. Let's see if there's anything else that's kind of exciting. You know, after we had the huge excitement that President Trump had said that China was really sincere. Like, how do you know that China was really sincere about a trade deal with the U.S.? You know, so we'll see how that follows through. So again, it's interesting, and I'll tell you what really hurts for these inverted yield curves, it really does hurt the those on a fixed income, your retirees. It will have the yield curve inversion has the greatest impact on the fixed income investors. And normal circumstances, long-term investments have higher yields because investors are risking their money for longer periods of time. They're usually rewarded with the higher payouts. And the inverted curve eliminates the risk premium for long-term investments. So, you know, so they're going to be hurt the worst. There's other areas that gets hurt. Consumers will have an impact on this inverted yield curve. So it's something to pay attention to. It's a warning. It's a 2x4 floating through the air. And, you know, it should, again, the key yield curve inverts to the worst level since 2007. And the 30-year rate is under 2. So get used to it, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anything yet. I think... the yet is coming here closely. And it's, I don't know what else to say, Butch.
Well, I don't know either. I just looking, though, when you were talking about that, you said talking about China, and I just had an article here that Japan just surpassed China as a top foreign holder of U.S. debt. That's a big statement. I mean, considering Japan is what, a tenth of the size of China or less? I mean, my goodness, that's huge. You reckon that because you know, Trump was talking to the Chinese or Japanese Prime Minister a couple of days ago about purchasing some of our farm products. Do you think that's included in that now?
What in
foreign debt they're holding? I mean, they're buying. Apparently, Japan is buying some of our debt, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, if they overpass China.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about Japan now. We're not talking about, you know, China's a huge, 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 I would say, market. But Japan is much smaller. How in the world can they afford to buy, according to this article, $1,112,500,000,000 of $1,122,900,000,000 in our debt.
Well, I'll tell you what. Everything that Japan is doing is all done on fiat dollars, just like we do. And, you know, they're throwing stimulus, everything to keep things afloat. And, you know, Abby has been courting Trump for a long time. And so, you know, he sees benefits. So, yeah, this is a, I don't know if it would actually be a quid pro quo, you know. They're certainly are going to be helping one another. Bob Chapman always used to say Japan doesn't do anything without the, you know, everything they do is from instructions from the United States. They don't do anything on their own. It's all from the United States. So we need somebody to buy our debt. We know Russia's quit.
Yep.
China's not buying
China's
it anymore.
China's drying up. That's right. Yes. That's
so
fine.
Somebody has to buy it. The Fed can't buy it.
Well, the Fed was buying it for a while, so.
Yeah. So what? And what they were doing is when they were, you know, when their treasuries were coming, they were rebuying, and I don't think they're doing that anymore either. So somebody has to buy the debt. That's what it's all about. That's what these arguments are. It doesn't have anything to do with the Federal Reserve raising our rates. It's all about, you know, it's all about servicing the debt. Just like these multinational corporations and their corporate debt. That all has to be rolled over. They can't afford to pay any higher rates. That's how desperate things are.
Well,
the consumer out there, you know, they'll beg, borrow, and steal in order to continue to buy, and they know that. You put something on sale for 70%, I'll guarantee you it's gobbled up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people are still standing in lines around the block, you know, 3 days before the new Apple phone, iPhone comes out. So.
Ridiculous. But now, are we doing the same thing for other nations, too? Are we buying their debt? Are we keeping them afloat?
With what?
That's what I'm trying to say. What are they buying it with? They have nothing either.
You know, with what?
Yes, that's the point. So what we're doing is floating. What do you use to say? Floating a loan and floating a loan and floating a loan with that loan. Eventually, that loan's going to float any longer. You can't go on forever. And how many more countries can we go to carry our debt? So
as long as
they're
willing, and you're right, and that's the whole point. All we're doing now is servicing the debt. We're not paying. I mean, it's just these numbers matter, ladies and gentlemen. Here's an example. President Trump is pulling millions from FEMA disaster relief to send to the southern border. The Trump administration is pulling $271 million in funding from the Department of Homeland Security. This is according to department officials in a letter sent to the agency by a California congresswoman, of course. ICE would gain $155 million, all from FEMA's disaster relief fund. And this is according to the letter from Representative Lucille Roybal. The DHS will lose $116 million previously allocated for Coast Guard operations, aviation security. They're just robbing Peter to pay Paul.
But all they're doing they're passing around digits. They're not passing around
they're
money.
Passing
they're passing
around
digits
just to try to get something done because there is no money there to do anything. It's I don't know.
If they had to pay this with physical dollars, there's not enough physical dollars in the world to pay this kind of stuff.
Nope. There isn't.
It isn't. So this is all, folks, a facade and a game. It's not even real in the sense that there's nothing here really changing hands. It's paying credit with credit with credit with credit. There's nothing here of substance at all. But we run on the idea that it's okay to do credit. This nation's run on credit since 1930s. And it's got itself into a heck of a mess. That includes the people of this country, too.
Absolutely. And it's all the signs are there, ladies and gentlemen. All the signs are there to tell you, get out of paper. We're not financial planners. But it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out you need to get out of paper.
No, it does not.
We're seeing all the signs. It's telling you. And if you believe that for somehow they're going to keep this market floating and you're going to be successful in protecting your money in paper And it's just somebody said to me this morning, it's like, yeah, what they'll tell you is to diversify in paper. And he says, it's just like the Titanic. What do you mean? If you're in a other cabin, that means you're not going to go down? Of course, the whole thing's going down. It doesn't matter how you, what department or you're in. So diversification, unless you're totally out of it, just diversified into something like gold. Gold isn't going to go down. Gold is a lifesaver. So the whole ship is going to go down, but that lifesaver, that life jacket. So be careful when they tell you to diversify, that this is safe. Oh, this is safe. There isn't anything in these markets that are safe. Not in today's world. So.
Totally agree.
And go ahead.
Go ahead. You make good points there. You go ahead.
No, I was just going to continue to ramble.
Well, I wanted to ask you a question that I think I understand, but I know you do. Now, this article, I'll just read a little bit of it to you, and you can answer the question in a minute. After Mark Carney admits that low rates lead to war, San Francisco Fed suddenly changes mind on NIRP. Back in February 2019, we reported that San Francisco Fed, already infamous for wasting millions in taxpayer funds on glaringly idiotic research, reached a remarkable goal-seek conclusion. In a paper titled, How Much Could Negative Rates Have Helped the Recovery?, it found that, as the title suggests, negative interest rates would have helped the recovery. As a reminder, unlike Europe or Switzerland, where deposit rates have been negative for years, the U.S. Central Bank is generally perceived as not having a mandate to take rates below the lower bound or negative, i.e. to implement what is affectionately known as NIRP. And yet, according to the regional West Coast Fed, this is a mistake because research from San Fed's Vasco Cordera, allowing the federal funds rate to drop below zero, may have reduced the depth of the recession and enabled the economy to return more quickly to its full potential. It also may have allowed inflation to rise faster toward the Fed's 2% target. In other words, negative interest rates may be a useful tool to promote the Fed's dual mandate. Nellie, this doesn't make any sense to me. If you have money in the bank at a negative rate, aren't you paying the bank money to keep your money? Is that the way that reads? Am I reading that right?
Yeah, you are.
Then why would negative rates help the economy?
You know, this is not, we talked about this the other day on this program, this is not true monetary policy, how it works. Again, these are drastic measures. And I think negative interest rate, it's just an unconventional monetary policy tool. And I think Sweden was the first one, their central bank, back in July of 2009. When they cut their overnight deposit rate to negative. And then you saw other countries, other banks to follow it. And now we're up to how many trillions and trillions of dollars that are getting negative interest rates. And we're heading into a break, and we'll talk a little bit about this when we get back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We do know what to say here on this program. We do know that we say the truth, and the truth hurts, and it's hard to accept the truth, especially when the rest of the world is going in a different direction. And I know I get in trouble for saying the truth. And, you know, we can hope and we can pray, but what are you going to do in the meantime? You know, you got to protect yourselves. And hey, if there's someone in office that can prevent this from unwinding, well, so be it. But I don't think that is the case. There's just, we've gone past the point of returning to a normal monetary policy system.
Well, like I was saying before the break, if you put money in the bank and they give interest rate, you're paying the bank to hold your money. So the banks always come out ahead. The banksters always make it. You and I lose money. Now, that's about isn't that what I'm saying? I mean, is that what we're saying here, that the banks will make money from your deposits, but you'll get nothing back? You actually lose money?
You know, I mean, the idea in theory, this negative interest rate's supposed to help stimulate economic activity. It's supposed to help to, you know, keep inflation at bay. But I mean, this is all going to backfire, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, this hasn't been tested. It hasn't been proven. We're in an area at a time. It's in uncharted waters to use that. Nobody knows what's going to happen. What happens? Well, we know the bottom line. When you begin to play with when the debt is going to be defaulted on, President Trump, prior to the election, he had already said that these bonds are going to have to be renegotiated. He already said that. What does he mean by renegotiated? Default. That's what that means. Restructured. Default. Restructured. Bankruptcy. Everybody knows it. Everybody, except those who, you know, limited income, pension funds, retirement accounts. What else? What do you think they're going to come to you and say, "Hey, we got a problem"? No, they're not. They're going to come to you and say, "Hey, this is a buying opportunity. Buy on the dips." You know, there was a report a customer told me this morning. I saw the headlines. I didn't have a chance to read it. The insiders are dumping their paper.
Oh, yes.
They're dumping it. Do you think anybody's going to talk about that and let you know about it?
At a tune of $600 million a day, they're dumping it.
Yes.
Now, think about that. $600 million a day, insiders are selling the stock. Think about that, Melody. That's got to tell us something. It says that this is part of the article. The kind of wild sellings indicates that there's a tremendous amount of fear among corporate insiders right now, and such selling will only make sense if a stock market crash is imminent. Without a doubt, we have already seen volatility return to Wall Street in a major way as our trade with war China has dramatically escalated. Many Americans are hoping that things will start to calm down, that our trade conflict with China will be resolved calmly. Because if things take a bad turn, many analysts are warning that we could soon be facing the worst financial crisis since 2008, and I'm going to say much worse than 2008, folks. I truly do. Are we prepared to bail the banks out again? Are we ready to do that? Are you and I, Committee 4, to do that? But the insiders are selling stocks off the range, $600 million a day. Wow.
We may as well say it's a billion, because there's probably a lot of dark money that doesn't get reported, sure, and so forth. So, yeah, we'll just say a billion. Round it up. $1 billion a day. That's probably not counting the corporate buybacks, because the owners, these multinational stockholders, what they do, shareholders, is what they do is, after they're, once they pump it up, and then they dump it, and then they tell you to buy it. It's just the same scheme over and over and over again. And I understand. I have family members. They're betting their retirements on their pensions.
Wow. And, well, I'm glad I didn't do that. Oh, I praise God I didn't do that.
And, I get it. I get when they've worked 40 years for a company. 40 years for a manufacturing company, betting on their retirement, faithfully saving, taking, where they scrimped these 40 years so that they could build up their retirement and they wouldn't have to worry about retirement. Do you think these corporations are going to back their contracts with their employees when it all goes to, when it all falls apart? Did they do it before?
Well,
it's these pension plans that are killing them.
If they can, they wouldn't, but I don't think they could.
They can't.
They're going to be going under, too.
Yep. Because they're all invested in treasuries. They're all invested in the stock market. They're all invested in these high-risk investment schemes in order to pay those that are retired already. So, and these people are going to lose. They might not lose all of it, but they will be restructured. And it'll go, they'll lose 50%, 60%, 70%. When you were betting on $4,000, $5,000 a month, and now all of a sudden it's $1,000.
You can't live on what you were getting before. What are you going to do now?
What are you going to do now? So, when you hear these countries talk about negative rates, and you ought to pay attention, because it means something. It's not normal, but we live in a world that's no longer normal. What's normal? Things that aren't normal, they say is normal. People's behavior. We've accepted all of this bad behavior. For what? That's what I don't understand, Butch. We've accepted people's behavior, thinking that they're going to do something better than the next guy.
Sure. Of course, I just read an article today, too, that they were polling the older generation, will say up in their 50s and above, with the younger millennials and 30 and below. And their value system structure, Melody, is totally different than the older generation. And let's face it, a lot of the 50s today are not that sound. But compared to the new generation, they were much more moral people. And that's a sad statement. It truly is. The millennials have lost their compass as far as, I guess you say, right and wrong and what priorities should be. I'm sorry about this. I didn't do it. I didn't take the poll. But 7,500 people polled, the millennials had some really screwed up ideas about priorities.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I saw that, but I don't recall if you have the priorities, right in front of you or not. But
No, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and then you see, here's this one headline: America needs more immigrants to keep the economy growing. Really? Really? You talk about insanity? They talk about the baby boomers are reaching a retirement age and that there just aren't enough younger people currently to replace them. Well, no, I'll bet if the younger people actually went to work, there would be. If we stopped bringing in instead of hearing the excuses, well, they don't pay enough. Well, you know what? What better way to make a company pay more is to eliminate immigration and these visas, where you bring in the here in this you see it here, especially around Ocean City, where you have they bring in the internationals to work on the boardwalks and all the summer jobs and things like that. Well, what happened to the kids who used to have a job? Teenagers. Oh, they don't get paid enough. And I'll say one thing, Butch. These international kids, they work hard.
Oh, yeah, they do.
They work hard. It's probably slave labor, if you ask me. They get paid, they get places to stay, but they're not the best places, and all the businesses, you know, who provide room and board, is my understanding. I could be wrong, but it's my understanding, you know, they all get subsidized, you know, by the city, county, state, whatever, you know, but they work hard.
So. And on the other hand, that other side of that picture, the Department of Justice said 64% of all federal arrests in 2018 were for illegals. Non-citizens. 64% of all the arrests were non-citizens or illegals.
Well,
I mean, that is quite a statement. It truly is. So, it balances out in some ways, perhaps. I mean, if the city's got to pay for the room and board of these people that are working for minimum wage, aren't the businesses paying their taxes to pay these people for room and board? Are they gaining anything by paying lower rates? I just wonder about that.
If they're what?
Like if the businesses are paying taxes, and the state and the cities are paying for these illegals to be here, aren't they paying for the? Aren't they? Wouldn't it be better off to pay another dollar or two an hour and come out ahead, more ahead and save money on taxes, for goodness sake? But I know I'm not making these numbers up. I'm not. But said non-citizens account for 7% of the U.S. population. They committed 24% of all federal drug crimes, 25% of all federal property arrests, and 20% of all federal fraud arrests. Now, this is not a good scenario. So you figure it out. I mean, they come over here and they make up 64% of the federal arrests. And they say, well, they hold down a job in the summertime for less wages, but we reimburse them for their food and we take care of them. Have we really gained anything, folks? Come on now. Think about this a little bit. But anyway, that's just my spiel on that.
Yeah, you know, we see... Oh, I didn't have the numbers here. They just went off my screen. I don't know why my screen does it. It just moves around without my... it's just like everything else. But you know, we you're right. But we talk about accountability, and no one gets there's no accountability anymore. We saw the big judgment against Johnson and Johnson. You know, $500 million. You have the other companies. They're offering to pay $5 and $10 billion just to make it go away. My question is, you can throw as much money to it as you want. You can take these companies but who's going to be held accountable for the lives were lost?
That's true.
People should be going to jail.
And they should be.
For murder.
But pointing beyond that, and I really mean this I hope not in an offensive way, but the people that do the drugs have to take some accountability also.
Yeah, they're dead. They did.
Well, I know, but I'm talking about those that before they killed themselves. There's help out there if they want the help, but again, I'm not passing a buck from the companies that pushed these drugs. I know they did right here in West Virginia. We're one of the worst.
Yeah, but the reason they pushed it wasn't just pushing them. They lied about it. They lied and said that these were these are not addictive drugs.
Oh yeah,
and
they always tell you that.
They lied.
They always
and
tell
that's
you that.
Why they that's why they should be held responsible for the murder of these people.
I understand what you're
saying.
I mean,
people were taking these, were getting prescriptions from the doctor not knowing that they were so addictive because they were being told by the manufacturers, oh, this is the greatest thing since popcorn. So they were being prescribed, and the next thing you know, they were addicted. Now, to me, and you know, it just takes a little common sense to know that if you're on any drug for any amount of time, you're going to be addicted to it, particularly a painkiller. But on the other hand, people need to go to jail for the murder of these people.
That should teach us to watch out a little bit for ourselves also.
Yes. You know, and I do think people now that they know about this addiction possibility with these opioids and so forth, from what I gather, from what I hear and talk to people who get surgeries and so forth, you know, they don't want the medication. You know, I only want a day of it, you know, or whatever, and, you know, I want to be weaned off immediately and so forth. So, you know, and that's the whole point. People weren't told that. And it's a sad, but anyway, again.
I think I took a Percocet one time in my life after I had surgery, and it put me so much on my mind, I told Marsh I'd rather hurt. I don't want any more of that. I mean, it was really weird. I couldn't tell if I was sleep dreaming or awake and thinking I was dreaming. I really couldn't tell. That's how it did to me, and I can't understand how people get hooked on it. That wasn't any fun at all. So I told her, I don't want any more of those. I don't care what the doctor says. You give me a Tylenol or whatever. I don't want any more of those pills. And I didn't take any more. I hurt a little bit, but at least I knew what I was doing.
Right. Yeah. It's but instead, what do? We legalize more drugs.
Sure.
We protect the poppy fields in Afghanistan, and because there's so much money made, and it doesn't matter how much you legalize, any ladies and gentlemen, you're not gonna, you know, eliminate the money. The money will only grow. You can, you know. So, but that's another story. That's another day. What do you got?
Okay, I know this is kind of giving me an old horse now, a dead horse, but the Epstein situation, and I brought it up because it's still in the news, and it should be.
You don't hear much of it. You don't hear much about it.
Well, I just heard it mostly on other, I will say alternative media, put that way.
Yep, you don't hear it on mainstream, but see, by design.
It appears that Jeffrey Epstein had really good timing when he, according to the New York Chief Medical Examiner Barbara Sampson, decided to hang himself in his Manhattan jail cell the morning of August 10th, crushing bones in his neck, which can fracture during hangings but are typically broken during a homicide by strangulation. Not only was the cellmate moved out the day before he died, overworked prison guards reportedly fell asleep, missing their assigned 30-minute checks. One of the highest-profile inmate in the Metropolitan Correctional Center, Epstein had recently been taken off suicide watch stemming from mysterious injuries he received weeks earlier. The convicted pedophile said he had been attacked. He was placed on suicide watch for about a week after that, meaning he was monitored 24/7. He was placed back in the jail special housing unit late in the month for a time and had a new roommate. But that person was transferred the day before Epstein's death, and the new roommate was not assigned, despite the fact that at least 8 jail officers knew Epstein was not to be left alone in his room. And the surveillance cameras outside the cell didn't work. Wow.
Wow, we're heading into a break, too. Please stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Survival brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and sign up for the newsletter. And gold right now in the New York spot price after market, looking at gold up 1580 at $1,543. Silver is up 50 cents at $18.24. Platinum was up $9 at $868, and palladium was up $3 at $1,487. The USDX today is up 0.01 at 98.03. Crude oil was up $1.72 at $55.36. You know, I've been getting a lot of requests for the Canadian maple leaf and the gold because everybody says that it's cheaper and so forth. It's selling at the same price. Actually, some of them are, you know, it depends on if you can get random dates or new dates, but the 2019s are basically selling for the same price as a Gold Eagle. You know, there might be a buck or two less, but they're not that much savings. Same way with the silver, the 2019s, you know, really, if you buy less than a box, they're almost the same price as a Silver Eagle. But, you know, this is the premiums are beginning to move on some of these on some of this product. So don't wait for just the price of gold and silver to rise and the premiums too. You're going to get a double whammy. So get them while the premiums are low. We're still looking at 20-year lows on $20 gold pieces. So it's the time to back up the truck and give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Get rid of that paper currency. It's not going to do you any good in these markets. Secure what you have. Forget about how much is it going up. Secure what you have. That's the most important thing. Did you want to continue, Butch?
Oh, a lot more to talk about, but if you got something you want to say, you go ahead.
I didn't know if you wanted to finish that on Epstein.
Well, not really. That's all I can say. It's just aggravating that I know many people see this. I know they see it. I know they know he didn't suicide himself, but there's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing really we can say. We know it's a lie, like we know 9/11 was a lie, but what was done about it? And that's been 19 years ago. What was done about that?
Well, you know what, the thing of it is, on all of these, some of these cases and so forth, I don't know what the statute of limitations, and so if they're just going after the money, I mean these are attorneys and, you know, so forth, these are just my questions. So if they're going after, so basically these people are going after the money, they really don't care if these people got prosecuted or not. Half the times, you know, you pay them enough and they'll just walk away and be happy.
Sure.
You know?
Absolutely, that's true. So what it boils down to, even a man of Epstein's wealth and, we'll say, influence, is not safe if they want him dead.
No, so it doesn't matter where you are.
No, yeah. It doesn't. It does not. There are no safe places to be. If they want you dead, you're going to be dead. So this, we can move on from that now. But I just want to make that point, folks. We don't live in a country where the truth is out very much anymore. That's a sad thing to say, but it's very true. Whatever the news media says, you can almost take to the bank. It's either a half-truth or an outright lie. We just will accept that fact. It's been that way for years.
You know, it's funny, when I was young, I mean, no one taught me about politics. Nobody taught me about government. No one, it was just, I don't know, instinct or whatever it might be, a woman's intuition, whatever. But I always knew in the bottom of my heart that if government said one thing, I always believed the opposite. It was just quite obvious. So, anyway.
It truly is. Of course, I grew up, Dad was a World War II veteran, wounded prisoner of war. And I grew up, you know, in a country that was taught to pledge a flag and, you know, and all. And I was tickled to be an American and all the hype about being the freest country in the world. And I guess at that time we may have been. We fed the world. We had the moral values in society where no one locked their doors at night. People, women could travel the roads after dark. Not worry, about being pulled over and raped or killed. Crime was very low in our areas. All this I grew up with. But like I said, I grew up in the mindset that America was always right and everybody else was always wrong. That's why I got involved in the Vietnam mess and didn't even think anything about it. So, yeah, you were right to question these things. We should have done it long before that. But for a little while, Melody, America was a nation to be in. You know that.
Well, you know what's interesting, and I guess it just comes with prosperity. With prosperity came locked doors.
Sure.
With prosperity comes our health declined. So the richer a nation becomes, truly the poorer the people become in so many ways.
Well, you're saying Bible, Hosea 4:7 said when the people increased, means they prospered and grew, they forgot God. That's what it said Israel did, Hosea 4:7. When they prospered and grew, they forgot him and who he was. America did about the same thing. We started depending on ourselves and our corporations and our government to take care of us. And we didn't do so well the last 20, 30 years.
You know, it was a nice ride while we were on it. But
yeah, it was.
It's coming to an end. Merry-go-round that we were on. It's now the roller coaster.
Well, do you remember commodities? I don't figure you do, but do you remember commodities? Commodities.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Commodities?
I don't mean on the market. I mean personal. Growing up as a young man, they didn't have food stamps. You know, they didn't have a lot of things they have today, and that was good because we were more independent, a little freer people. Truly, you were. But they started something back in the 50s, I guess, that people that were kind of hard up, they would give them a box of food, a box of cheese or powdered milk, whatever. They call it commodities. You go pick them up at the local place, and they just give them to you to help feed your family. That started the whole idea of course, of food stamps and then from different things into free housing and all that. That wasn't available back in the 50s. And I know people had it hard. We were poor, just everybody else was poor, so we didn't know we were poor. We were just poor. But we were independent, and we had a whole lot less government regulation than we do now. So whoever clothes you and houses you becomes your lord, I guess you could say, becomes your provider, becomes your God to you. Because if you sass them, they'll cut off your food supply. America become dependent upon government. So that's why we're in this mess.
But you know, also too. I mean, I came from a poor family, but we didn't, like you said, we didn't know we were poor.
No.
But our parents didn't talk to us about their finances. They didn't talk to us, you know, because we had everything that we needed.
That's
we
right.
Didn't get everything that we wanted, but we had we ate well. We didn't have
sleep every night.
And We were healthier because we didn't have desserts every night of the week.
That's true.
We had
the food was
meat
and
potatoes.
Naturally raised. The food was naturally raised, usually by yourself.
Yes, it was local. And so, but we didn't know we were poor. I mean, we knew the differences because, you know, maybe friends, you know, lived in, you know, a nicer neighborhood, but we didn't really even realize it was a nicer, you know, it was just like there was no, but our parents didn't. We weren't friends with our parents. Our parents didn't share all that stuff with us.
No, they
because
didn't.
They were our parents. It was their obligation. It was their responsibility. And they did.
You know
well.
How? We did. I think so. I think that they did a very good job rearing some sons and daughters. Today they're doing okay. But I finally figured out how we really were poor, Melody. Now, this is no lie. This is how, in my mind, this is how this worked. When you grew up, we didn't have a bathroom in the house. We had an outhouse. You probably don't remember those either, but we had an outhouse.
Well, my grandparents had one.
Yeah, we had an outhouse. And we had a one-hole outhouse. My grandma had a three-holer. And other people had two holes. I thought, well, the people who had the two and three holers are pretty well off. Those of us who only have one hole are the poorest. And that's what my mind taught me. That's what I thought. So, but then got thinking, why don't we go to the toilet through two other people?
Or three.
Yeah, that was in my mind. If you had two holer and up, you're wealthy. So anyway, that's my thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but there you go.
And, you know, it really was my generation. I mean, you're older than I am. I don't know if we're considered the same generation. But, you know, the free love, you know. Woodstock 60, just celebrated its 50th anniversary. Make love, not war. And then it kind of all went downhill. But it was all scheduled. I mean, it's all planned. It's all designed.
Sure was.
So.
Sure was.
Everybody talks about the 50s, but that was even part of the design. What's next?
Well, we are seeing so many things happen that people are under so much pressure. Whether it's their fault or not makes no difference. It's still under pressure. You know, and I got just reading an article here that really hits it on the head. Companies are facing an employee burnout crisis. It says a recent Gallup poll of 7,500 full-time employees found that 23% reported feeling burned out at work very often or always. An additional 44% reported feeling burned out sometimes. Job burnout accounts for an estimated $125 billion to $109 billion in healthcare spending each year. Has been attributed to type 2 diabetes, coronary heart disease, gastrointestinal issues, high cholesterol, and even death for those under the age of 45. Unfair treatment at work, unreasonable deadlines, unmanageable workload, lack of support from managers, the added stress from having to respond to emails and texts during off hours are primary drivers of job burnout. So, yeah, people are under more load, Dave Melody. And maybe they bought it on themselves. Maybe they went out and bought more than they could afford. A lot of people do that. I've been good to set myself in the past, had to work my way out of it. I won't do it again. But a lot of people put themselves in a stress. But sometimes just keeping a job and breaking even is all you can do with the kind of stress that goes with these jobs that can cause diabetes and coronary heart disease, people dying at 45 and younger. Stress will kill you. And debt is stress, is it not?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
You know, the Bible tells us that the servant is borrower or slave to the lender. So debt is stress, and people don't equate this sometimes, I don't think, the way we should. When you work 8, 10, 12 hours a day, you're selling your time, which is your life, obviously. That's what life's made of, time. You're selling your time for so many dollars an hour to pay your bills and feed your family, which is all good. But when it gets to be more than you can handle, and you start overloading yourself, that causes problems.
Yeah,
marital problems, home problems, health problems. We're spending more on medical bills because people are unhealthy today. Like you said, they don't eat right. They're under stress. They work maybe too many. I don't know. Who knows what all the reasons are. But this is not the 1950s again. It isn't. Not even close.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. And I just want to say, we got about 3 minutes left of the program. You know, we were talking about how Japan has been purchasing our debt. They now pass China. Well, you know, here's probably a good reason why Japan is buying our debt, because this came out today, a little earlier today. It was updated, but Pyongyang appears to be developing warheads to penetrate a ballistic missile shield defending Japan. The country's defense chief said on Tuesday, pointing on the irregular trajectories of the latest missiles launched by North Korea. So the defense minister told a news conference Japan believes the rockets were a new short-range ballistic missile, according to the ministry spokesperson. And so Japan, you know, is feeling that they're the target. And the United Nations Security Council did discuss North Korea's actions behind closed doors today at the request of Germany, France, and Britain. Germany, France, and Britain. The three countries have condemned Pyongyang's repeated provocative launches as violations of Security Council's resolution. So Japan, I believe, is beginning to feel a little bit of concern about those missiles that are being tested. And it just baffles me that no one is saying anything about it other than, well, it's all right. He's a good man. I don't get it.
I don't either. I don't either.
So Japan, yeah, if they're feeling the heat and are a little concerned, yeah, they'll want the backing of the United States to protect them. So, anyway.
Well, there's a lot of places that are hot and many getting hotter and with thermal and whatever, for whatever reason. You know, Iran just started putting battleships with this fleet. You know, it's to escort them through the straits over there and through the protecting from this from U.S. warship being there. Iran's actually escorting their own ships with the battleships. So this has to tell you something, that things are really heating up, and whether it goes to war or not, it's still heating up to the point that it causes tension. So I don't know what's going to happen. And it says Argentina's people or citizens are trying to find jobs out of the country. They can't find work there. You know, those people are hurting. And I'm looking here that U.S. home price growth slumps the weakest in 7 years. Now, people got to think about this. 7 years ago, Obama was in office. Now, the housing slump is as low as it was 7 years ago when Obama was in office. But the economy's booming. So you tell me, Billy, what's going on here. I don't know. I mean, I just don't get it. And now the Silicon Valley wants to build a Chinese-style social credit system. This is remarkable, the way we're going, this direction this nation's going in.
I do want to talk about that on Thursday, so if you could, because I think that is important, and I saw someone talking today about how they're keeping tabs on people, but they're not releasing. I mean, it is really amazing where we're headed and how quickly we're headed there and how quickly this hour is over. And we'll be back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Wendy Wilson and Dave Allen will be here with me, Melody Cedarstrom. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless. Work it all, I'd fool around and have a ball.